Hello, everyone, and welcome to Third Shot Podcast. We took a quick break last week, but we are back at it this week with another great episode. So thanks for joining us. If you haven't already done so, as we always say and we always appreciate, go ahead and like and follow us on our social media. We're on Instagram, Facebook at Third Shot Podcast, and on X at Third Shot Pod. We also have our website, thirdshotpodcast.com. So go check us out, leave those comments. We love to see it. And we're back at this with our shot.
Let's do it.
Yeah.
Hey, cheers.
Cheers.
It's not the same as last week when we actually got to clink glasses, Bridgie.
I know. We were right there, right next to each other. I miss my co-host.
I know.
Now
that was
you're
fun.
Up there.
Here, well, there you go.
There we go. Goes,
yeah.
Can we like? Can, how do I do this? Go
clink. This way.
Clink.
Hey, what do I do?
Yeah.
It'd be great if somehow we could have the arm go over and into your camera.
We'll, into my box, yeah.
Yeah.
That was a kind of a Brady Bunch type of thing where you know your boxes are looking at each other and smiling like you're actually there. But no.
Yeah. See, this is why you gotta watch us on YouTube so you can see what's going on.
Exactly. You have no idea what we're talking about right now unless you're watching. So
Russ, we missed you though. We wish you were with us. It was so much fun just doing all you can eat sushi.
Well, you know, I was thinking about it around this time last year. We were all in Vegas together.
We were.
That was like
Shamrock Open.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's been a whole year. That's crazy.
It just flew by. It was like watching the Oscars the other night. My son goes, "This is on again?"
Like it just happened.
It just happened. Like, no.
Did you like the Ryan Gosling song, the Ken song, the performance?
Hilarious. That was definitely a highlight. That and Al Pacino just giving the award away without doing anything.
What was that?
Like, oh, I read Oppenheimer.
What? I mean, I didn't even understand any what just happened. Like, I don't even think the producers, the band, you know, the orchestra, right, I don't think anybody knew what just happened. Everybody was like in shock.
Yeah. It all kind of kicked in like a little bit late and delayed. It was so weird. But, you know, he's Al Pacino, whatever he wants to do.
Well,
run through? Like, Russ, you're a producer, so you must know the inside scoop, right? Do they practice this?
You would think they have some sort of like rehearsal, even if it's just like right before you go out, like, you know, oh, you're going to be doing this, this, and this, and this. But I don't know. For some reason, he just missed on the whole thing. They do rehearsals of the full performance. Like, actually, there was a clip of, or a couple of photos of the Ryan Reynolds thing that came out online of the rehearsal stuff that they were doing. So, you know, there's a rehearsal, but right. I guess Al Pacino.
Maybe he missed it.
No, he didn't miss it. He was late for his reservation, his dinner reservation. Did you hear this? Yeah. He had the dinner reservation and he was late and he just needed this show to end.
Right. Don't they usually say the nominees?
Yes.
Like all 10 of them or however many it is?
All 10 of them. You're supposed to say it and then you're supposed to say, and the winner is, right? So he gets everybody and they do a little drum roll and he just said, oh yeah, Oppenheimer.
Yeah.
Oh my god.
Anticlimactic.
Yeah.
But I mean, I guess we all knew anyway, right? That it was going to be Oppenheimer.
Well, they won what, 6 other ones with best actor, best actress, best supporting actor, best producer, director. So yeah, probably going to win.
Until Pickleball the movie, whenever that's going to come out. It's coming out soon.
I think it's going to win. I mean, you know, if Barbie is nominated, I think the Pickleball the movies probably has a pretty decent shot at it.
Right. Exactly. Well, you know, and I know, you know, we talked about what we were going to talk about and this is not it, but I watched a movie the other day. There's a brand new independent film out that is about FileMaker. not technically about FileMaker, but FileMaker is almost like a main character in this thing. It's called Problemista. And this guy, like the problem is not the file maker, although he has plenty of problems with the file maker. But it's hilarious. It's funny. It's it actually, file maker sort of becomes the hero of the thing, kind of. Or I don't want to spoil, but it's like great to like see something like that. So yeah, that performed that part of my life. Now I need a pickleball movie to go see.
Okay.
Well, they were filming that pickle. What is it? Pickle Slam, the Netflix one that's coming out.
Yes.
Yeah. And Uncle, I think you just missed it the last time you were out here. I think you had left and it was filmed maybe just like a couple of days after. And I was like, shoot, that would have been perfect for us to be able to go to that together.
Exactly. That would have been, but we did have some fun on the courts.
We did. Yeah, that's true.
That's always fun, going to Sunset. And
yeah, what else? I mean, obviously we missed a whole show last week because probably we were having so much fun in Vegas, but what was going on out there?
Well, it was Amanda's senior night. You know, she dances for UNLV. So right. That was the main event, was Amanda right. And senior night. And that was so much fun. She did an amazing job. We got to see two of her performances. Nice. I had a fat head made for her. So I was out in the crowd with a giant fat head of my favorite dancer. But of course, we squeezed in lots of pickleball and lots of eating.
Of course.
The fat head was classic because everybody wanted to take a picture with Amanda's head.
That's awesome. It's a beautiful head. I don't know why you wouldn't.
I mean, that's true. That is true. She's a beautiful young woman. And yeah, why wouldn't you want to take a picture with the big head? But so yeah, that was really nice. Watching her. It's kind of, you know, you having being a parent and you watch your kid grow up dancing, right, from 3 years old up until now. And you know, this, I don't know what's next in her dance career, but this is definitely the end of a certain era of her career.
Yeah, right? Right.
Her college, doing it all in school. Oh my gosh, did you hear the music?
I did.
That was pretty cool. Anyway, so it was like emotional for me, you know.
Oh, yeah,
so proud of everything she's accomplished. But it was very emotional and watching her dance for the last time for UNLV. It was cool. But I was tearing up. Bridgie had to hold me back.
Right. Yeah. I had to cheer him up.
Me on my shoulder and go, yeah. It's okay.
I'll take you to Sunset. Don't worry.
Okay. That's exactly. And then I think, you know, some ice cream or something like that helped too.
Yeah.
Right. Of course. All you can eat sushi.
Yep.
Yeah. Well, it was fun because while we were out there, we got to see a couple of friends that we've made out at Sunset together, Pono and Jesse too. And that huge Jesse was from a long time ago. And he came up and was like talking to you, saying he's been listening to the show.
Awesome.
Knew about the other Greg. So it was awesome.
So Jesse was from exactly 1 year ago. Because I met Jesse as Greg and I had first met, and the first time we ever got to practice together, we went to Sunset and played against Jesse and some random guy that was trash talking us. But Jesse was so nice and he was helping us with our game. And anyway, I have not seen Jesse probably in a year.
Oh, wow.
Since that first time, but he's been listening to the show, and it was really fun because Bridgie and I were talking to Pono, and all of a sudden Jesse came rolling up and he goes, "Hey guys, what's going on?" I'm like, "All right, Jesse." Yeah, that was cool.
That's awesome.
That's awesome. And you know, we got to play that night, and then unfortunately Bridgie was unavailable later in the week. So Pono asked me, like, "Hey, you know, if you want to come around, you know, I'll play with you." And Bridgie and I, we played with Pono and his like whole family, that whole crew, the Hawaiian crew, a couple times, right?
Yeah, a few months ago, I think was the first time, and maybe another time since then. But they're great people. They're always out there at Sunset. They roll deep. There's never just one of them, but they come as a group, which is awesome.
Nice.
Because, you know, whenever you're there and you see them, they're very welcoming. They let us play with them. And they gave us a really good food recommendation to go to Zippy's. So shout out to Pono.
Awesome. Yeah, that was a good call. He said, go with the fried chicken, chili and rice. So, you know, I'm not going to, I'm doing it. So I did the fried chicken, chili and rice. And then I went landed up going back to Sunset to meet Pono on like a couple of days later and play some pickleball. And he introduced me more of his crew, right? Oscar and Teddy and just a whole bunch of them. We got to play some pretty high level pickleball. Those guys are really, really good. And they're not only nice and they know their food, but man, they can play some pickleball too.
Well, because you had to play, well, not had to, but you were looking for some higher competitive games because you had that big tournament, right?
So, yeah, I just played the APP Sacramento with Jaeger, another one of our guests on the on the show. And that was a blast. I mean, how can you not have fun with Jaeger? I mean, truly, surprisingly, no Jaeger at the hotel room the night before.
That you saw.
Right. We're kind of thinking, okay, for sure. Right. But there was no Jaeger. We basically rolled up into the hotel, checked in, chatted up for a while and got our beauty sleep to get ready for the match the next day. So that was fun. Nice. Now, this is a cool story. So, you know how the hotels, they give you the complimentary breakfast the next morning, right? And stuff like that. So we roll into breakfast and we see a couple of guys that have their pickleball gear, right? You could tell they're there for the tournament. So we introduced ourselves, said hello and stuff like that, and met Daniel. And I apologize, Daniel's partner. I cannot remember your name, but I'm sorry. But we met both of them. They said they're playing the pro qualifier later that day. And sure enough, when Jaeger and I got to the courts, there's Daniel, there's his partner. They're playing singles. And then later that day, they're doing the doubles qualifier. And they did it. They won the qualifier. They made it into the main bracket.
Nice. Go Daniel and partner.
so cool, because I got home later that night or the next morning. I'm looking on my Instagram and I see a post of Daniel and his partner going, "We did it. We're in the main draw." And I'm like, "All right." So I got on and messaged them, congratulated them and said it was really cool to meet them and stuff. So that was fun. That was fun. They played awesome. We got to watch them a little bit before our matches, and they were just killing it.
Nice.
So shout out to Daniel, man. The quad father himself.
That's what he goes by, isn't it?
The quad father of pickle. Yeah.
Nice. Look, Daniel.
Nice.
But the APP tournament for Jaeger and I was a great experience because we played at a higher level than I've ever played. We played the 4-5-5, right? And I had never played that level. And you know what? Now I know why.
Hey, you guys held your own out there.
Jaeger. Yeah. What's that?
For that being your first time, I thought you two did a pretty decent job.
Thank you. We had a good time. It was a great experience, a great learning experience, because you realize why these guys are at the level they're at. The consistency, the placement of the ball. It's not like they hit the ball any harder than you hit the ball. Like, I can hit the ball hard, right, if I want to, but it's just the consistency of them keeping it in and positioning it in the right part of the court and everything. I was in awe getting beat.
Maybe that's why you got me. You're too busy watching them. Like, oh my gosh, these guys are so good. Oh, wait, I'm playing.
Oh, darn it. But it was really cool. I want to do it again. I think I need to keep working my way up to that level. But now I've seen it. Now I know what to expect. So that was really
nice.
Yeah. And these APP tournaments, similar to the PPA tournaments, have pro players there, right?
Yeah, we got to see a number of pros. We played early in the week, but a lot of the pros were there qualifying as well as practicing and getting ready for the tournament. And we're lucky enough to be joined by one of those pros that got to play in the APP Sacramento, Brooke Ruelta. She is just a powerhouse up-and-comer. She's 18 years old, and she's already just making a huge mark for herself and on the pro tour. And we're lucky enough to have her on the show. So when we come back, we will have Brooke, and I'm sure you're going to enjoy getting to meet her. Come on back. Welcome back from that quick break. We really appreciate all the support that you're providing us on our social media, on YouTube now and watching the different videos. Please keep it up. Please provide us the feedback. We love the 5 stars when you review us. Please keep that up as well. As we promised before the break, we have one of the top pros in the pickleball game. Brooke Ruelta is with us today. And not only is she a top player, but she is now the APP Next Gen Singles Champion and Mixed Doubles Champion. Welcome to the show, Brooke.
Thank you. Thank you so much for having me.
Yes, we are so excited to have you here and to hear more about your amazing career. But I think we ought to toast to you and all of your accomplishments. It's incredible how much you're winning out there, and we love to see it.
Thank you.
Congratulations. Cheers. We have to make it clear, Brooke is not drinking alcohol with us tonight.
That was water. That's
good. Good.
Right. That's good. We clear the air in case there's any questions.
That's right. We don't want to get in any trouble now.
No, right.
No. Rage.
So, Brooke, you were a top tennis player while you were growing up. We're kind of wondering, how did you get introduced to pickleball, and what was the process like from switching to tennis to pickleball?
It was hard. So I played tennis my whole life, and I loved it. When I found pickleball, you know, it was one of my friend's dads was like, oh, you should come and try this sport. It's so much fun. And I'm like, what is that? Like, I thought it was an old person sport. I was just like, had no clue what it was. Oh, mini tennis, maybe. Okay, sure, I'll give it a try. And I tried it. My second time ever playing, I jumped into a tournament not even knowing the rules. I was stepping in the kitchen, hitting third shots in the air and all over the place. But I fell in love with it and started playing every day.
Wow, that's amazing. Because I know I met your mom, I met both of you over in Las Vegas at the PPA tournament. And I have to imagine this must have been a complete shock. Because up to that point, I'm guessing, I mean, you were already looking at what schools, what colleges you're going to go to, you're getting recruited, you're getting scholarship offers. Like, that had to have been tough to just walk away from all of that.
It was to
like pursue the shot at going pro at pickleball.
Yes, it was. It was a shock to my parents when I told them I was going to step back from tennis just to play pickleball. They were kind of like, what do you mean? We've spent all this time and money on tennis and now you're just going to go and play pickleball. But I loved it and I was happy with it. And I told them, like, hey, if you didn't spend all this time and money in tennis, like, I wouldn't be where I am in pickleball. So we gave it a few tournaments to, you know, see where I was at. And my mom, she comes with me to every tournament. And she saw the way I played, saw the way I was competing against these girls out there. And she was like, okay, I'm in. Let's do it.
That sold her on it.
That sold her. And she loves traveling, too. So she was all in.
That's awesome. So important to have your parents to support you in that decision. Otherwise, it would have been probably really tough.
It would have. My dad, it took him a little bit at first to, he works a lot, so he's not able to travel with us. But it took him a while to get used to the idea, too, with the whole tennis. You know, him and my mom were set on me going to college and playing tennis in college. So for me not to do that, it's kind of like a heartbreaker. You know, they wanted to see their kid go and play a D1 sport. But now playing pro pickleball, I think they're pretty happy and they support me no matter what. So
that's so good to hear. I'm wondering, so when you jumped into that first tournament with zero experience, what level were you playing at in that tournament? And then how long has it taken you from that first tournament to becoming now a professional pickleball player?
So the first tournament I ever started was a 4-0 and I didn't win it. It was a mixed 4-0 tournament. I think we won 2 and lost 2. And then after that, we even jumped down to 3-5 and played a couple 3-5 tournaments and then kept going up. Played some 4-0s, some 5-0s. And then I started playing pro in July. So I that first tournament was in January of 2023, and then I jumped into a pro tournament in July of 2023.
Wow. And
6 months.
6 months, yes.
That is crazy.
It was the PPA in Denver, and I only did pro singles, which was weird for me because I hadn't started playing singles till 2 weeks before that tournament.
Wow.
So it was pretty random, and I just decided, you know what, let's do it. And I did it, and it turned out to be decent. So
it was the Denver tournament. Which tournament was it that you had to play Anna Lee?
It was that tournament.
Like, share everybody what that experience was like, and you did really well. Share everybody what the score was.
Right. So I ended up losing 11-8, 11-9 in the second round. So I won my first round and had to play Annalie in the second round, lost 11-8, 11-9. It was crazy because, one, I didn't even think I would win my first match because I had no experience in singles, no clue what I was doing because it's a complete different strategy than doubles. And I was just, you know, I just was kind of playing tennis out there because I was playing tennis at the same time still. I quit tennis in July too. So after that tournament is basically when I decided to play pro pickleball and take a step back from tennis. So it was a shock. I knew I was playing the number one in the world, and I was like, I don't have much experience, so I just have to go out there and try my best, and I've got no expectations, and that was it. That's what I did.
Well, you held your own, that's for sure. You only lost by a few points, and at that point, you were only like, what, a month or so into your career at a 5-0 or higher level. That's exactly. Amazing.
It was great to see, you know, great to experience like playing her and see that I can hang with those type of players. I mean, the number one in the world. It was a great experience.
So go ahead, Bridgie.
I was going to ask, and I'm sure we're probably thinking the same thing. Like, what was the training process like that sped you up from just jumping into your first tournament to playing against Anna Lee?
At that point, I wasn't doing a lot because I had no idea what natural. I was doing. I had no idea what I was doing. So we would play in those 6 months, we would drill. But honestly, we had no idea what kind of drills we were doing. I didn't know the proper technique. So we would also just go and play some rec games at some local parks. And that was pretty much it. But after that tournament, I did get a coach. I started learning the techniques, how to hit certain shots, like drops, the actual fundamentals of pickleball. And that was when I really started to learn the game and started getting better. It was after that.
Well, give a shout out to your coach. I mean,
yes, of course. I owe everything to him. He's the best. His name is Mario Figueredo. I would not be where I am without him because he has gotten me into better shape, and comes from pickleball only, which I think I needed. I needed someone who knows the game of pickleball, not the game of tennis. So he really showed me how to play pickleball, and I thank him every day.
You know, I follow you religiously on social media. I've been a fan of yours ever since we met, even before we met. One of our good friends, Pickle or Die Greg, he gave me the heads up on you and says, Greg, you got to check out Brooke. She is so good. She is so good. So ever since he told me about that, I've been watching. And one of the things that blows my mind is like how much you are traveling. Yes. I mean, like, you're in Hawaii, you're in Arizona, you're in Texas, you're in Florida. I mean, like every week. And then just recently, you're in Sacramento. We're both up at the APP Sacramento. Mm-hmm. I mean, how do you just manage that?
So it is tough trying to balance practice schedules and schoolwork and then, you know, traveling every week. It's tough. So I actually recently, you know, had to sit down and figure out my schedule for the rest of the year because, you know, going straight from one tournament to another or just having back-to-back weeks, you know, like, for example, this week I went to the APP Sacramento. I came home, and now in 2 days I'm leaving to the PPA in Austin, Texas. So it's really tough, but we do – my coach and I, we work out and train together right when I get back home from a tournament. We train. I do a lot of schoolwork while I'm home and then get ready to travel back again to somewhere else.
Gosh, yeah, you've got a lot on your plate. That's amazing that you're able to keep up with everything.
You homeschooling to keep up with all the – I mean, you're graduating this year, right?
Yes, I do online school, yes.
Wow.
I know, right? So along with traveling, all of these different places that you're going to for pickleball have such different climates. Is there anything that you do in particular to get yourself ready? So let's say you flew from Hawaii, the next weekend you're, I don't know, in Texas, which would probably be a huge change in climate. How do you prepare for that?
I honestly, usually I don't feel a difference with the climates. I know it's a little weird, but I just honestly drink a lot of water, and that's the main thing I do. I feel like being in Florida, I've gotten used to like a harsh, like, you know, humid, hot heat. So if it's like in the Sacramento, it was nice and cool. I was loving that. I mean, a lot of the places I've been to have been way nicer weather than Florida's. So I haven't really been affected by anything major, but I do drink a lot of water just while I'm traveling because I do get dehydrated if I don't while traveling. It's hard.
Yeah. I mean, I can't keep up just when I go down to visit Bridgie in Vegas. I come home and I'm like, oh, I'm tired. I need to adjust. And you're just going, training, playing. And the other thing that amazes me is, like, every tournament, it seems like you're playing with a different doubles partner, different mixed partner. When you were in Hawaii, you played with one of the girls that we see down in Vegas all the time, Lauren. Yeah. We see her and her crew. We've been able to kind of watch her progress. I mean, she's fantastic as well.
She is awesome. Yes.
She's amazing. So how do you go about picking who you're going to partner with, both mixed and women's doubles?
So for mixed doubles, I've been playing with Michael Lloyd for the past maybe 8 to 10 tournaments. So when I met him, we had no idea who we were, and we decided to play together on accident. So we were supposed to play nationals with two separate people, and they both happened to not be able to play. And he reached out to me and was like, we're playing together because I know your partner can't and my partner can't, so let's do it. And I was like, okay, because if not, I wouldn't have played mixed any other way. So we played together, it worked out, and we just decided to play for the next 3 months of at least for the beginning of the year. So that was how I met Michael, and you know, haven't had to worry about a mixed partner for a while. And then as far as women's doubles goes, it's way harder to find a women's doubles partner than it is a mixed partner. And so I've been bouncing around a little bit. Now the people that I play with, I know who they are or have heard of them in some way. I mean, they reach out to me or I reach out to them, and we just go out and play, and we practice the day before, you know, get a groove, and that's it.
That part blows my mind that, like, people from different states end up playing together in a tournament, because I'm like, how the heck do you even get a feel for your partnership until the day of and then perform at the level that y'all do? Like, that's amazing.
Yeah, like, how much time do you guys practice together before you start the tournament?
So it depends on when we both get there. Normally, I would practice with them the Wednesday before the tournament starts. So we would practice on Wednesday, and I would have singles Thursday, and we'll probably practice Thursday, if it's women's, we'll practice Friday after mixed. And so maybe for a couple days while we're there at the tournament, and that's about it.
Wow.
Whoa. I know, right? Are there any like social etiquette things that are behind the scene of selecting a partner? Like, are there some people where it's like, oh, you just don't ask those ones? Or like, is there a way to reach out that is better than just hitting somebody up on Instagram or something?
I don't think so. I mean, every time that someone has asked me or I've asked someone, it's usually through Instagram, or they get my number somehow, or I get their number somehow, and I'll text them through messaging directly. But other than that, I mean, like, it's just, if you don't live near them, that's the only way you're going to be able to reach them. So
yeah. How did you partner up with Judith? Because she's a great player as well. I mean, so I'm sure she's in demand.
Yes, she is. So I met her through Michael and Brandon Lane. Michael, they've been friends. So we've all, been in contact for a while, but I just randomly decided to look at the site and see who didn't have a partner, because I didn't have a partner for Sacramento. And she was on the list needing a partner, and I just asked her, and she was like, yeah, let's do it. So that was it.
That's awesome. One of the things that I think Uncle and I really appreciate about pickleball tournaments is that social aspect of it. And like, as you mentioned, you could be at a tournament and meet one person, and then it just kind of snowballs and you start meeting other people.
Exactly.
As someone who's younger, but also in the professional level of pickleball, what's the social aspect like when you're at tournaments?
Oh, it is so much fun. Like, the most fun I've ever had. I mean, every tournament I meet more and more people, and then I also have like a good group of friends that I already have seen at so many tournaments. We don't live in the same states, so we just go to every tournament and see each other at every tournament. But the practicing with people, with new people, it's so much fun. It's great to meet new people, and everyone I've met has been so nice and just really like inviting, welcoming. Just super great people, and I love meeting them all, and it's awesome.
Yeah, I mean, we talked to a number of pros, and they say, kind of after the tournament's done for the day, they go out for dinner, whatever, right? They have drinks, or they're sharing a house together or what have you. Because you're traveling with your mom, are you just hanging out with mom afterwards and like doing your schoolwork, right? Because it's probably a little different vibe.
So, Mom, usually I will go out with some of my friends for dinner. Sometimes mom will join us, and sometimes mom will just say, no, I'm not going to hang out with the kids or whoever.
Well, your mom is so cool. She's probably the life of the party when she comes, right?
She is. And she loves it. She does. And everyone that meets her loves her too. She's awesome.
That sounds like such a blast. I need to go to one of these tournaments, catch up with you all afterwards.
You do. Oh my gosh. That would be so fun.
So is there anybody that, kind of mentors you that's on tour, or somebody that maybe you look up to, somebody you want to like model your game after? I mean, there's so many top players out there, but you're right up there with them.
Yes. Well, mentoring me on tour, honestly, I can't say that there's anyone that does, but my coach Mario, and he doesn't come with me to my tournaments. So he's like virtually mentoring me. And then obviously there's my mom, who's always my biggest supporter. So they're my main like support system, behind the scenes. It's kind of just them, and that's it.
Do you look up to anybody? Like, their games, and say, oh, I really appreciate that part of their game. Yeah.
Yes. So, you mean like top pros?
Yeah.
Okay. I love Vivian David's game. She is one of my favorites. I love the way she plays. She's super nice, super cool, and super nice at the same time. So that's a bonus. But her game, I would love to model, and that's, I look up to her, her game for sure.
She's so positive, right? She when she's on the court, she's always smiling. She's always having a good time. She's so positive. It's like, she couldn't help have fun playing with her.
Right. She is the best, honestly.
Well, you have quite a few accomplishments yourself. When Uncle was introducing you, you know, that list is just getting longer and longer, I feel like, with each tournament you play in. What has stood out to you so far in your career? Like, give us the highlight reel.
The definitely winning Next Gen. That was the biggest. I feel like I played my best there. And I just, you know, on each day I went in and I was like a different person. I think nobody really knows that because it was, you know, kind of like mental for myself. But that tournament for me was like a whole nother level of my game that, you know, I feel like was brought out with that tournament, and winning it was a big plus. So that was probably the highlight of my career so far.
What do you think triggered that for you? Was it just you woke up on a good side of the bed that weekend, or what do you think happened?
I guess so. I mean, every morning, well, for starters, every night before I played, I ate sushi. So I think it was, I ate it on the Thursday night, and then we won mixed, and I was like, okay, sushi again, let's do it. So that was kind of a ritual. It's a little superstitious, but it was working. So, and then every morning I just woke up and really just locked in. And it was like almost as if when I was playing, I didn't even know who I was playing. I was just playing my game and not even paying attention to anything else. Even with my partners there, I was just very locked in and focused. And it was the most focused I feel like I've ever been in a tournament ever.
Well, when you hit Vegas, Bridgie knows all the best sushi places.
Oh, yeah, gosh. You let me know. That's awesome. Well,
I was laughing. I was laughing because growing up, I was a soccer player. And so I had my own, like, superstitions, too.
Right.
And sushi was also my, like, go-to food. Yep. And if I played well afterwards, you better believe I was eating sushi before the next game, too. That's so funny.
That's hilarious. And I didn't start liking sushi till recently too. So it's very weird that it's now a food I eat regularly at tournaments. So usually Wednesday nights when we get to a place, we're eating sushi.
That's funny. You found what works, stick with it.
I wish we got together in Sacramento because there's some great sushi places up in Sacramento. We should have done it.
Oh my gosh. That would have been awesome.
So one of the perks, I think, from like our perspective as common pickleball people is that pros get the cool sponsorships and the paddle sponsorships. Can you tell our audience a little bit about how to go about getting a sponsorship and who are you sponsored by?
Okay, so I'm sponsored by Holbrook Pickleball. How to go about getting a sponsorship. One of the things that I noticed was that you have to be really patient because one, you may not like the paddles you're trying. I mean, it took me a while to find a paddle that I loved, and Holbrook, I really just fell in love with. The first 2 minutes of playing with it, I knew that this was the paddle for me. So that's a big thing. It's when you know, and I believe that one of the main things when you're trying to find a sponsor is that you should love their paddle. And if you don't, I don't think it's really worth it. And, you know, just reaching out to companies, you know, seeing what they'll, if they'll sponsor you, and making sure that you love it though. That's the main thing, in my opinion.
So what was it? I mean, Bridgie and I have had the luxury, and we're so lucky because we do this show. We've tried so many different paddle manufacturers. I mean, yeah, people call us the paddle people, right? So, but I haven't had a chance to try the Holbrooks yet. So what is it about that really stood out to you that as soon as you picked up in the first couple of minutes, you said, this is different?
Right. So I was playing with the Yola, the Perseus. And I love that paddle. Like, I thought I would never switch. But I did not get sponsored by Yola. I mean, I didn't think I was going to. So I was like, okay, I need to find another paddle. I had so many friends that told me if I like the Perseus to try the Holbrook because it's going to be, I'm going to like it way better. Oh. So I had a friend give me one of hers and I, you know, started hitting with it. And one thing I loved about the Perseus was that there was a lot of control. And once I picked up the Holbrook, I was like, this is it, because it's got a ton of control and it has way more pop than the Perseus. So it had the extra pop that I was missing and still a ton of balance and control. And I just loved the combination that it had, and it was perfect for me.
Sounds like we're going to have to try out.
Yes, you are.
Brooke, you're going to have to give us the intro to somebody over at Holbrook. We're going to have to try this out.
Oh, I will. I can even bring you a paddle next time I see you.
All right.
There we go.
Sounds like a plan.
Right. So what's next for you, Brooke? What, you have tournaments coming up? Where is your career headed? Let us know.
Yes. So my next one, I leave on Wednesday to Austin, Texas for the PPA. And then after that, I've got the APP Miami and the APP Delray, which are very close to me. So those will be in like my hometown, and those should be really fun.
So I wish Russ was on with us right now, but Bridgie, you know, in Austin, what's the barbecue place to go to?
Terry Black's was the one that he recently went to, and it's delicious.
Okay, I'm going to have to try it out.
It's not sushi, but, you know, I don't know.
Maybe, yeah, right, maybe save that for
barbecue, though. Definitely going to have to try it out.
So for people that want to start following you, if they haven't already, what's the best way for them to kind of keep up with what's going on with Brooke?
My Instagram, very active on Instagram. That is at brookrevuelta.pb.
Sounds good. That's where I find you. So I encourage everybody to start following Brooke.
Thank you. Absolutely. Well, Brooke, thank you so much for joining us. Before we do the closing, we do want to do another toast. Our third shot to the future. Yes, future. To this upcoming tournament in Austin. Kick butt.
To the next championship. You got this. We're behind you.
Thank you so much, both of you. Thank you so much.
Thank you for coming on. And thank you, audience, for joining us at Third Shot. Bridgie and I will continue to share our pickleball journey. Special thanks to Brooke. She's so great. If you haven't had a chance to follow her, watch her play, I highly encourage it. She's so exciting to watch and just fun. I mean, that was the first thing that I experienced when I was watching you play doubles over in Vegas. It's like the intensity, but you're having fun. You were smiling. You're enjoying it. Plus, I was chatting up with your mom, and that was cool, too. So anyway, so please support Brooke. Go on to our Instagram account, Brooke Ruelta PB, and follow her there. Please keep subscribing and following Bridgie and I on Third Shot Podcast. And we promise to continue to have special guests just like Brooke in future episodes. So let's continue to share our enjoyment for the game and grow this pickleball community together. See you next time on Third Shot Podcast.